Father, we thank you for this time together. We come together and study your word, and we pray that all things that we say and do might be honoring and glorifying to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his sacrifice for our salvation. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. If you want to go ahead and open up to 1 John again, I'm going to try and speed through this in like another 2 or 3 weeks and get this over with, because I've spent a little bit taxing on me, and I know it's probably taxing on you too. It's probably a little bit boring sometimes, but so last week we in 1 John 2 we were at 1 John 2 and verse 3, and it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that seeth he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So the whole thing about love, all these handouts you got, and the love up there and everything, John has, 1 John has a higher percentage of the word love, percentage-wise as far as the total words in the book. John is only like the third. You have Psalms, which is the first, and that's a very long book, and then I forget which the other one was, but love is in John a whole lot, and whenever people go to 1 John, that's what they want to talk about, all this lovey-dovey stuff. But when you read through 1 John, a lot of the love isn't that lovey-dovey stuff. It's different than that. And last week, when we looked at the verses about keeping his commandments, the first thing you notice about that is that two of them are works. He says the first thing to notice about, I'm going to read this so that I get it right. How's that? The first thing to notice about these verses is in verses 4 and 6. He that saith, that means there's somebody who's proclaiming something, somebody who's trying to tell you something, somebody who has a message for you. So this is the ones among the remnant who come among them to teach them, to sway them, to try and, you know, either teach them or change their opinion. And again, that's what this whole book is about. These people speaking the words of God, or are these people speaking in the spirit of Satan? So those who are speaking the truth will keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. We saw those commandments encapsulated in one verse last week in chapter 3, in two verses, in chapter 3 and verse 23. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So, How about now? So, here we have the four commandments we saw in these verses, that Jesus Christ walked by faith in the Father, so they're going to walk by faith in Jesus Christ and the Father through the Spirit. They're going to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah and God. They're going to love the saints, and they're going to have the Spirit of God and confess that Jesus is the Christ. You may notice that two of the four here, that these are works. And so the one thing you know about that is these demonstrations aren't to gain salvation or these are demonstrations that what you're proclaiming is of God, and you have to demonstrate these things so that people know that you are of God. So when John is speaking of walking in his commandments, even when he is addressing the little children or the believing remnant and not warning of deceivers, he's not telling them how to obtain eternal life. They already have that. And if you look at chapter 2, verse 12, you can see that they already have eternal life, because he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him which was from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So you can see by these verses that they already have eternal life. So when he's going down through all this stuff, he's not telling them anything about how to get salvation. He's telling them, when somebody comes into your church or your assembly, and they start, you know, telling you things, they say, I have a prophecy from God, or I have a word of knowledge, or I have something like that, one of the gifts that are going to come back. There's a way that you can test whether these things are of God, and the whole book of John is just the testing process. What you're looking for in these people that are saying they're a prophet, or they have a word of knowledge, or something like that. So are they demonstrating these things? And if they're not demonstrating these things, then forget them. Just put them out of your mind. So when he specifically addresses a believing remnant and telling them what they should be doing, he isn't saying to do this to gain eternal life. He's saying that they must obey the commandments of Jesus to obtain a full reward. And we see that, I think we looked at this verse last week in 2 John verse 5. He says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So you can see when he's talking about the commandments and how you should walk and so on, he's not talking about their individual eternal salvation. He's talking about their reward, receiving a full reward in the kingdom that's going to come. So now let's go back, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week, and we're going to look at a new commandment that he writes, but it's not a new commandment, but it is a new commandment. In 1 John 2 and verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness had blinded his eyes. So first of all, he's talking about the commandments of Jesus as referenced in verses 2 and 3. He's not going back to Leviticus 19, and let's go back there now, Leviticus 19. But he's not going back the whole way back there to get these commandments, which are, Jesus Christ said they are, this is one of the two great commandments. So in Leviticus 19, in verse 18, he says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So the reason he's not going back there, he's always talking about loving your brother and loving your brethren, and that's what he continually talks about in 1 John. But You also notice in Leviticus 19 that everybody that you're supposed to love, your neighbor, wasn't always going to be your brother, because if you look down in verse 34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be as to one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So here in John, although in a lesser sense he's speaking about fellow Jews and Israelites, to a greater extent he's talking about your brother in Christ and your brethren in Christ. So it's the disciples of Christ that he's talking about. So if we go back to John 13, again, 1 John goes back to John, chapters 13 to 17, and almost everything in 1 John can be found back there also. In John 13 and verse 34, Jesus gives him this commandment, gives them this commandment, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. So what you can see here is that Christ isn't saying that you should just have a warm, fuzzy feeling about your fellow believers. You shouldn't just, you know, oh, I just love you so much, and just... He's talking about, a while ago, Tracy did a series on charity and what that is, and that's love in action, and that's what he's talking about, because he says, by this shall all men know that you are my... Well, how are all men going to know that you love your brother unless you're demonstrating it to him? So what Christ is talking about is loving him in a way that is visible and noticeable to him. So if we go back to 1 John 3 again you see that demonstrated, and this is much like a passage in James that we talk about a lot, but in 1 John 3 and verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not have love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So this, you know, this love and this charity and so on, it's not a new idea, or even this dispensationally distinct one. It's just that if somebody comes and they're giving you a doctrine or a prophecy or a teaching, and they're not demonstrating love, then you know that they're not, they shouldn't be listened to. So and just as the demonstration of that love, just as they hated Jesus, they're also going to hate them. If you go back again to John chapter 15, and John chapter 15 and verse 12, again Jesus gives this commandment, and that's why in 1 John he says, this isn't a new commandment I'm giving you. And in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So Christ would lay down his life for his friends and for his enemies, but they were to demonstrate that love by laying down their life for their friends. But then you go back to 1 John where we were, and he does kind of a strange thing here. First, he says he's not giving them a new commandment. In verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. But then in verse 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So the idea of loving your brethren isn't unique to John. It is, if you turn to 2 Peter, in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just look at some verses here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And you see there the brotherly kindness and charity, that's the love in action. For if these things be in you and unbound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So if you're not demonstrating these, now Peter's talking to a different class of people, but if you lack this brotherly kindness, you're blind and can't see far off. Then if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing you've purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth forever and ever. So Peter talks about the positive and the negative of loving your brother. Then you go to James, back another book, in James chapter 4. And James talks about the negative part of it. In verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brother, and he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So here James is given the negative part of it. So don't judge, don't speak evil of your brother, don't judge your brother. Then in James chapter 5 and verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until you receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So James, writing to the same people in the last times as John is, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So Peter and James and Jesus all speak about loving your brethren and being charitable to them. So what's the new commandment that John's giving here when he says, I'm not giving you a new commandment, but I am giving you a new commandment? Well, in verse 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So the new commandment is true because the true light, which is Jesus Christ, which is the resurrected Messiah, he now shines. And then in verse 9, again, we have those three words, he that saith. Again, you're going to talk about somebody who's coming in. He's going to say something. He's going to give you a prophecy. He's going to give you a word of knowledge. He's going to give you something new, and you're going to have to test now, is this spirit of God or is this a spirit of Satan? The new commandment that John is giving here then isn't a commandment of thou shalt or thou shalt not do something. It's a commandment of observation. It's saying, when somebody comes in and they say, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now, that's the commandment. And that commandment is, you're looking at that person now. He comes in and he says, you know, he's going to give you something. He's going to give you a prophecy. He's going to give you something that he says is from the word of God or that he received from the Spirit. And he's saying that he's in the light. But now he's treating his brother, he's treating the brothers, you know, not good. He's treating them bad. He's saying nasty things about them, holding grudges, whatever. Then you throw that out. The new commandment isn't something they should do or not do. It's commanding them to observe. If someone comes in and he demonstrates love toward the brethren, he passes this test. If someone comes in and he doesn't demonstrate love toward the brethren, then he fails this test. Then 1 John 2:10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. So you're not going to stumble because of things that he tells you, because he's going to pass this test. There's none occasion of stumbling in him. But if someone comes in and he's not demonstrating love toward the brethren, then forget what he's saying, because there's a possibility that he's not of Christ and he's not of giving you the proper word. Then in verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So even if this teacher is a person who is trying to influence the church, even if he is a believer, he would be, as Peter described in the verse that we read, that he is blind and he cannot see afar off, and he should be ignored and removed from the assembly. So stated another way, this new commandment John is giving is this: if someone hates a brethren or even a brother, don't listen to him. Only listen to those who truly demonstrate their love for the brethren. Now, this is really emphasized in chapters 3 and 4. If you go to 1 John 3 and verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So we're going to dive into the verse 9, and whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, and so on. We're going to get to that later. But for today, I want to concentrate on what he's saying here in the end of verse 10, neither he that loveth his brother. So whosoever is born of God doth not sin, and whosoever doeth righteousness is of God, and whosoever doesn't do righteousness nor doesn't love their brother, they're not of God. These are the tests that he's given. In verse 10 he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. So Mr. Webster gave us the definition of manifest here, and if you can't read it, it's plain, open, clearly visible to the eye, or obvious to the understanding. So it's going to be made very plain and very clear by what they do that they are either of God or not of God. So this is how you get to tell the wheat from the tares. And we're going to, later on, not today, but we're going to get into that parable, the wheat and the tares, because that's very germane to this entire book. If you understand the parable of the wheat and tares and then apply it to 1 John, then it really helps you understand the book of 1 John. He is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. He that loveth not his brother is not of God. The message his teaching should be ignored and should not be considered to be speaking for God, because he's not loving his brother. He's not demonstrating that love for his brother. So let's go on in 1 John 3:11. For this is the message ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The same as he said back in chapter 2. This isn't a new commandment. In chapter 3. It's the same as he said back in chapter 2, that this isn't a new commandment. This is the word that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. But now we see how the new commandment of discernment is working. He doesn't love his brother, so he shouldn't be manifest as a child. He's going to be manifest as a child of the devil. So you see how that works. In chapter 2, he gives the commandment of, if he could, you know, of observation and discernment. In chapter 3, now he's showing you how that works. If he comes in and he's not giving you, he's not showing love toward the brethren, then he is being manifest as a child of the devil. And then what's really important to this entire passage is in verse 12, he says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and slew his brother, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So we're going to come back to that verse again next week. But the reason that's there, in conjunction with the ability or inability to sin and the love or hatred of your brother, he brings up Cain. And when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we can see how Cain is represented as a characteristic of the tares, in the parable of the wheat and tares. Cain is one of the characteristics of the tares, and you can see that if you turn over to the book of Jude. And Jude talks about these people, and 2 Peter talks about these people, and 1 John, when he references Cain, if you cross-reference that to Jude and start in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers. Oh, I forgot to put the picture up. There's the picture of Cain killing Abel. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know as naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots on your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So you can see also there's spots on your feasts of charity. So they're not demonstrating the charity that should be demonstrated. And these are the characters that try to infiltrate the Jewish church. These are the tares that the devil sows among the wheat during the end times. They've gone the way of Cain. They hate the brothers that believe. They run after the heir of Balaam. They want to be rich and powerful by prophesying against the truth and teaching others how to deceive true believers into committing sins. And they perish in the gainsaying of Korah, which is they will challenge the leadership of the believing remnant, and they will have a special place of eternal punishment waiting for them. So then go back to 1 John chapter 3 again. And now, as Dave said, whenever he spoke about the pronouns, if you watch the pronouns here, you can help suss some things out. So in 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So once again, here you see a subtle shift of pronouns. John is saying to the brethren exactly what Christ said to his own disciples in John 15, 18 and 20, because they hate you because of me, and they hated me first. But then he changes the saying from saying you to saying we. And that I think is important. He's going back, and this was the beginning of the book of John, when he's talking about we. So he says, He says here, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know we have passed from death unto life. Well, who's the we here he's talking about? He's talking about him and his companions that wrote the book. And when he does that, he's taking back the mantle that he had in the first four verses of chapter one. He's part of the ministry, and he's demonstrating now that we know that we've passed from death to life because we are demonstrating what we said should be demonstrated. And so he's part of the ministry to them, and he is manifesting the we as the ministers of the righteous. We in chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, is those who walk faithfully with Christ on earth. Now in chapter 2, he's teaching them as a minister of God. He is one that's telling them the truth. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, he identifies the believing remnant as the sons of God with the leadership. He then exhorts them to purify themselves as Christ is pure. And then when you get down to verse 14, he's validating his ministry and the ministry of those with him when he changes from you back to we. Then verse 14 and 15 contrasts the righteous ministry of John and his companions with the ones who are described in Jude. And in verse 14 it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So he's saying, we are the demonstration, kind of like Paul says, follow me. John is saying, we're your example. We're showing love. We're demonstrating what needs to be demonstrated. But if somebody is not demonstrating that, if you don't love your brother, you're a murderer. And that's kind of strong language there. Well, how would they be murderers? You have to remember what time we're talking about. We're talking about the end times. We're talking about a time of great tribulation and a lot of temptations and so on. So when they're teaching false doctrines that include the hatred, that's going to lead souls away from God into the lake of fire. So they're an eternal murderer. And also, those who hate the brethren are going to expose the brethren to their enemies, and that's going to lead to their torture and their death. So they are literally going to be murderer of souls and murderer of people. So they are actually going to be murderers, and that's just not hyperbole there. Then he comes back full circle to what Christ said in John 15:13 in 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So Christ said in John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So now John is telling these people, we're ready to lay down our lives for the brethren. And if you're not ready to, if someone comes among you and they're not that committed to loving the brethren, then they should be considered false teachers. And then what did Christ command them? Again, we're back to this. Is that Jesus walked by faith in the Father. They'll walk by faith in the Father through the Son and the Spirit. They're going to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah and God. They will love the saints, and that's what we're covering here today. They will have the Spirit of God and will confess that Jesus is the Christ. So there's probably a few more things we could go up over about loving your neighbor. I mean, it's going to be important, because as he says in James, if you're loving in word only and not in deed, then people who come to you who are naked and destitute because they can't buy or sell, and you just say, you know, be peace, go on your way, well, that's not loving them. And there's more stuff we could get into about that, but I think we're going to just let that go now. And then next week we're going to talk about why those in chapter 3, when he says He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And we're gonna explain. Well, I'm gonna explain what I think that's all about, anyhow. Let's end with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time we had together to come together and study your word, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you especially for Christ, who came and who died for our sins and the sins of the whole world, and all we have to do is just put our faith and trust in that, and we have eternal life, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.